Happy Monday morning, and let's take a look at what's on our agenda for this week. Joining us now, Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio, and Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. Hello, guys.
Hello.
All right. So obviously the big day tomorrow, Todd, is Super Tuesday. 10 states are holding primaries. Everyone says that one of the most crucial is Ohio. Is that true? And who are we expecting to take Ohio's delegates?
Yeah, there are a lot of loci of crucial on Super Tuesday. That's why it's super, although it's a little less super this year than it has been in years past with only 10 states up for grabs. But Ohio is the big prize. It's a big swing state, I think, largely because Rick Santorum has had such a big lead for a lot of this race, which has been dwindling day by day by day. And as John said in the headlines there, it really is neck and neck. Rick Santorum might have a 1.5% or 2% lead right now, which with the margin of error is basically meaningless. So do or die for Rick Santorum, largely. If Rick Santorum does not manage to win in Ohio after having such a big lead in a manufacturing state with a lot of blue-collar workers, people concerned about the economy, who Santorum has had a lot of currency with, his campaign would certainly be in quite a lot of trouble. Although he does have a big lead in Tennessee, so Rick Santorum expects to do well there. He does have a lead in Oklahoma. Newt Gingrich has a huge lead in his home state of Georgia. What you're likely to see tomorrow is not a sweep by Romney or any other candidate, but a mishmash of victories around the place that let each candidate claim a little bit more momentum. But Mitt Romney, if he wins Ohio, wants to be able to sew it up and say that he is finally headed for the nomination. Whether he can say that credibly is another question.
Could somebody leave the race finally tomorrow after Super Tuesday, do you think?
Somebody always could. Everybody says they're not going to. You might look to Rick Santorum to think about stepping out if he doesn't do well in Ohio. But if he does win in Tennessee and Oklahoma, maybe he has an excuse to stay in. That might be largely a function of his campaign war chest and whether he gets some money coming in. So that would be the big question there.
All right. Well, Charlie, so far, at least in the recent weeks, the job numbers haven't been working very well for the Republican GOP candidates because they've been improving.
And just overall economic trends have been showing that if there's a direction the economy appears to be going, it is that it is growing, that the recession, you know, that it's in the past and things are starting to pick up. And that doesn't really feed in well to a Republican message of we will do a better job at fixing the economy, especially if the economy, if the trends really seem to indicate that unemployment continues to drop. And that's what we're going to look for this Friday, is how is unemployment doing? We've been seeing this very steady drop since last summer. It's now down to 8.3%. Does it drop again? The expectation is that it will. But one thing to really pay attention to is the labor force participation rate. This idea that the unemployment is only, you're only counted unemployed if you're looking for a job.
Right.
And there's been a large number of people who've just been giving up altogether. And a lot of indications that those people are not going to be coming back into the labor force. So the big number may look good. It may say unemployment is looking better, but it's going to be how the story is, of course, spun, but how the story is told. Is it really a factor that the economy is getting better, unemployment is coming down, and that's what the Obama administration would likely tout? Or is it that people are just giving up and that there are just fewer jobs in a lot of ways, and that's probably what the Republicans would highlight?
Well, it's a difficult – if the unemployment rate drops into the 7% range
– the trend is really strong, and it makes it – you know, for everyone who talks about when unemployment is very high and going up, it's bad for an incumbent president. The same thing is true when it is declining. It makes it much harder for a challenger to the incumbent president.
But, Todd, the one thing that is going up is the price of gas. What kind of effect does that have on the campaign season?
Yeah, the president has to be vulnerable on this, not only in two ways. People get upset when they pump that gas and the price goes up and up and up. Not only do they get upset, it has a direct effect on their personal household economy. And just like Charlie, I'm sure, would confirm for me, high gas prices is a real anchor on the economy. Every single sector of the economy mostly uses fuel in some way, trucking, you know, you name it. Every part of our economy is dependent on gas prices. Average gas price is $3.77 this week. It is going up. The rhetoric on this has been quite another story. You have Republicans, of course, calling for increased domestic production, Keystone Pipeline, a lot of the things that you've heard in the past. The problem is none of those things will lower the prices immediately. That's about a 10-year or a 20-year or a 50-year energy policy.
And
one thing that is
Go ahead, just to jump up, I mean, I completely agree, and that's the issue, is that everyone wants to, whether it's the president or the people who are running against him, they all sort of act as if there's something that they can do, or there's calls for the president to do something to fix it. It's not that simple. I mean, even if the president were to tap the strategic reserve of petroleum, of oil that we have in this country, that wouldn't lower the price.
Yeah.
And the big worry that you're talking about there, Todd, is that inflation starts to increase overall. We haven't,
which would bring us back to 1980 with President Carter.
Which we haven't really seen that. Even with the Fed, you know, releasing billions and billions of dollars into the economy, we really haven't seen inflation. And what I would say is that Americans have seen these $4 prices. It's not that they like paying it, but there is something about being slightly accustomed to it. And I think that's why last week's story about could gas get to $5 a gallon really struck people, because we haven't seen $5. If it were to get up to that level, then I think you really start to see that sticker shock. I mean, we don't like seeing $4 a gallon, but we've seen it.
There's
we've
a simple way they could turn it around.
Todd,
diplomatic recognition of Iran.
Todd, let me just ask you, Todd. So
yeah, it's gonna happen.
At this point, does the accusation against the president of high gas prices being his fault, does that stick in this day and
age? I think president, we've said this a million times, presidents get credit they don't deserve for a good economy and blame they don't deserve for a bad economy. And I think gas prices is part of that. It probably does stick, although the election is still so far away. Let's find out where gas prices are, 6 months from now. More importantly, what's the effect on the overall economy? The Republican rhetoric on this has been interesting. Of course, Republicans want more domestic production and Keystone Pipeline. That's familiar. There have been a couple of Republicans in Congress saying something new, that the president has implemented policies intentionally to boost the price of gas. John Cornyn, senator from Texas, said that last week a couple of times, that this was all on purpose.
Hasn't drilling increased under Obama's watch?
Domestic production is up, actually, because of a lot of Bush policies. There has been an increasing trend in domestic production under both Bush and Obama. Demand is actually down. So the counterintuitive part of this, American demand for gasoline is down significantly over the last year. Domestic production is up. So a lot of the rhetoric that you're hearing, while it's good arguments for a 50-year energy policy, on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, not picking on one side here, they don't really have a lot to do with what you're paying right now. That has to do with a global market, and that has to do largely with Libya, Iran, and the Middle East.
I would just add really quickly that what the price is in November is going to be more important than what the price is right now.
Of course. And the same for the unemployment.
And the trend usually is that by that time,
Herman,
it's down.
Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway, and our co-producer, WNYC Radio, and Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent. That's your agenda. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Sure thing.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.